Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis 37. Genesis and chapter 37 this morning. Verse 1 says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan," or Hebron. "These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father an evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors." God bless the message. In Jesus' name, amen. The story of Joseph is a story of a man of faith. He's 17 years old when we pick up this story. He turns out to be a great man of God. He's a perseverer. He has great faith in God. In fact, I wrote this down. Joseph had convictions before he ever entered into the crisis. That is what's, you know what separated Joseph from all his brothers? I just found this week. It's an amazing truth. It's again how the Bible bears itself out. The profound difference between Joseph and his brothers: Joseph's father, Jacob, got right with God after his brothers were raised, and Joseph was the child of his old age. Genesis chapter 32, verses 10 and 11. It does make a difference how you raise your children and the home that they are reared in. That makes a great difference. So Joseph is a man, a young man, 17 years of old. He's a boy, but he's a young man who's already got convictions. He knows he wants to serve God. Now, there's going to be some tough days ahead for Joseph. He doesn't know how tough they're going to be. They're going to be amazingly tough. And you have got to decide, like Daniel of old, determine in your heart as a young man, or if you're an old man, it's not too late. Determine in your heart, a young lady, an old lady, somewhere in between. You determine in your heart, you're going to serve God. And then no matter what happens, you serve Him. Amen. That's faith. That's trusting God. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that serve Him, and according to His purpose, all things work out for the glory of God. We trust God. Secondly, we surrender to Him. If you'll do that, no matter what happens tomorrow, no matter what happens a week from now, no matter if everything collapses, everything goes bad, if you'll determine to do that, you can put yourself in the position to be blessed of God and know the blessings of God. And Joseph did. Do you trust God this morning? Man, that's faith. In fact, everybody say this that's willing to do it. Don't listen to the person next to you. You just say this. Say it with me. I trust God. I trust God. Here's something else to say this morning, and mean it. You're not listening to anybody around you. This is between you and me, right? I surrender to God. I surrender to God. Now, if that was true, and if it is true, no matter what happens in your life, it's going to be okay. Joseph had convictions before he ever entered into crisis, and my, oh my, did he go into crisis. Nothing evil is ever said about Joseph. You understand that Joseph is a picture, mind you, just a picture of Jesus Christ. We know that Joseph was a sinner, but nothing is recorded that he ever did wrong. No matter what was put on his plate, he trusted God. That is faith. That is a picture of Jesus, because Jesus was the sinless one. Absolutely. Look again at chapter 37. Let me try to wrap this up real quick and move on. Verse 5 says, "Joseph dreamed a dream." Now he's 17 years old. He's a young man of great character. His brothers hate him. He's the beloved son. His brothers betray him. It's said three times in the beginning of this chapter, they hated him. They despised him. He received a coat of many colors when everybody else was wearing drab colors. It was like he's the youngest in the family, and dad loves him best. And they hated him because he was a righteous man. As a matter of fact, it says in Psalm 37:32, "The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay them." You know, and that was true, in literally true, in Joseph's life. He dreamed a dream. This is the first of two sets Two dreams dreamed by Joseph that came to pass. Two dreams dreamed by the butler and the baker came to pass. And two dreams dreamed by Pharaoh of Egypt, and they came to pass. It says in verse 6, it says, "And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, Behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it." These were prophetic dreams. These were dreams that were going to come to pass. And at the end, and if I don't get that far this morning, at the end of Joseph's life, when Joseph, his brothers are standing before him, and he's second only to Pharaoh in the greatest land on earth at that time, the land of Egypt, and he's a powerful man, he remembers the dreams. And he remembered that they're fulfilled. And you know, he said, Jehovah God is a wonderful God, and he's never let me down. You see that sometimes in hindsight. And he told it his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him. Even his dad was against him. His father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. Two more verses. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will tell thee, and I will send thee unto them. And he said, Here am I. Send me. And three times in this passage, it said his brothers hate him. A little bit later on, down in verse 11, as he's approaching, here comes Fancy Pants, the coat of many colors, and they conspired against him. So he's not loved by his brethren. Not an ideal family. Not an ideal situation. There's some things you need to know about Joseph. He knew what it was to persevere. He knew what it was to press on. These are all Bible words. He knew what it was to endure. As a child of God who trusted God, he understood that he was the potter and God was the clay. He understood that he was the creation and God was the creator. That he was just the sheep and God was the shepherd. He understood his place and his standing before mighty God. And he just trusted him. He just loved him. He was completely surrendered to him. And I've got five things, maybe six, that I'm going to share with you. And I'm going to make it quick. And I'd like to read all of this chapter. And I'd like to read all of chapter 38. And I'd like to read all of chapter 39 and 40 and 41 and 42, right on through verse chapter 45. But we can't do that this morning. But here's something you need to understand. If the title of the message is What to Do When Life Doesn't Make Sense. Here we are amid this COVID-19. Church is growing. Man, we're seeing people come to the Lord. We're seeing people join the church. We're seeing people follow God, getting ready for baptism. It's a pretty exciting time. But it's hard as a pastor. It's like you're building the church, but the emergency brake is on. You know, you kind of understand that. And you make room for everybody and understand their fears and they're real and understand their positions. And some of them have positions where they have to be very, very careful. And I understand all of that, but these are uncertain days. But we have a certain God. We have a God that is a rock. We have a God that has never failed us and never let us down. And this is how we're supposed to react. We look at Joseph and we see it. How do we react? What do we do when life doesn't make sense? Number one, don't demand to understand. You're not God. I am not God. We don't have to understand. Look at chapter 37. You're already there, verses 21 through 36. Reuben heard it. Delivered him, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. Talking about Joseph. And Reuben said unto him, Shed no blood, but cast him into a pit here in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Reuben had good intentions. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it, and they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. By the way, there are Midianites there as well. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. And then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph unto Egypt. There's more there. But his brothers were cold. Man, they just wanted, some of them wanted him dead. And just like every family, there's all kinds of people. And just like the family of God, all kinds of people. Some wanted him dead. Some wanted him not to be killed, but just out of the way. So they threw him in the pit, and they decided they were going to sell him as a slave to the Ishmaelites, to the Midianites. And they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Now, this could not have made sense to Joseph. Joseph loved his brethren. Again, a man of great character. I did not rehearse this, but in verse 2, you find out that Joseph did not conform himself to the world around him. He did not conceal the evil of his brethren, verse 2. He did not contend with his brethren. He did not complain about his brethren. He had great drive to glorify God. This is an unusual teenager. He's 17 years of age, and he's got more spiritual depth than all of his older brethren. He's 17 years of age, and he's committed himself to Christ. He trusts God, and he surrendered. So he didn't understand what was going on, just like Job was not privy to the conversation between Lucifer, between Satan, and God. As a matter of fact, look at Job and chapter 38. This is something that you maybe have not recognized before. Book of Job, just before the Psalms, and verse 38. Job questions God. Boy, is he put in his place. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" That's you and me when we question God. We have no idea what's going on. And we question God. We darkeneth the counsel of God with our words. And he says, "Gird up now the loins, thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." And he goes through it. He overwhelms Job with his wisdom and with questions. "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." Man, he goes on for quite a few verses here, and he kind of rakes Job over the coals, and Job understands, man, I don't know nothing. As a matter of fact, Job, verse chapter 40 and verse 30, or verse 3 of chapter 40, he says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I'm vile." You know, we are not God. As a child of God, if we know that all things work together for good, when things start to go just a little bit awry, I just put this out to you. Who are we to question God? Don't demand to understand. Why is this happening? Don't demand to understand. Just understand, you're the clay, he's the potter. You understand, he's creator God, he's deity. He knows what he's doing. Oh, I trust him because he's a good heavenly father. Isaiah chapter 55, if you would. Isaiah chapter 55, two verses. Verses 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." Oh, I just wanted verses 8 and 9. So he says to Job, and Job questions him, "Job, were you there? Were you there when I created the world? You have no idea what you're talking about. For you or I, as a sinner man, a sinner lady, saved by grace, to ever question God, that is foolish. That is foolish. How about you surrender to God, just like you said you were going to? How about you just trust God and know that all things work together for good?" So when things start going wrong and you don't understand why, number one, and Joseph knew this, number one, somehow he was taught this by his father Jacob along the way. He knew this. Don't demand to understand. You're not God. I am not deity. We don't even know what's going to happen an hour from now. We don't have the ability to keep my heart beating one more beat. I am not God. I don't understand what's going on, how everything's being woven together, and the great tapestry of life. I don't understand any of that, so I just trust God. When things start going wrong, you don't understand why, don't demand to understand. Number two, don't fail to be faithful. Look at chapter 39 in the book of Genesis again. So he sold to the Midianites. He's bought by Potiphar, captain of the guard. Potiphar puts him in his house, and Joseph just kind of rises to the top. Look at verse 1. "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard," this is a high and lofty position, "an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." God blessed Joseph no matter where he was, because he was trusting God. He had the right heart relationship with God. And he was just trusting him, and he knew God was doing right. And so God blessed him. And everything that Joseph touched, man, he was prosperous. So right away, he caught the eye of Potiphar. And Potiphar ends up putting him in charge of everything. Verse 3 says, "And the master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands." He's 17 years old. And all of a sudden, all kinds of things are being put on his plate. This is an unusual young man. He is totally committed to Christ. God will bless you if you'll commit to him. God will take your life, no matter what it is, no matter what your IQ is, no matter what kind of talent you have, if you'll surrender to him and you'll give your all to him, man, he's going to bless you and he'll prosper things at your hand. Now, I'm not saying he's going to make you rich, because life is tough. Joseph's soon going to go to prison, falsely accused. I don't understand. Accused of rape, accused of abuse, and he's thrown in prison. And here's a man, here's a young man that he had sterling, he had a clean character. And all he's trying to do is honor God. I'm sure he thinks of his dad, Jacob, back in the homeland. I'm sure he thinks of his brothers. He loves his brethren. That is bore out in the story. And we won't get that far. And I'm sure he's homesick, but he understands what's happening in his life. God's going to use it for good. He says that later. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. What a man of God. Don't fail to be faithful. Look at verses 21 through 23 in the last of this chapter, chapter 39. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. He's already been thrown in prison, falsely accused. Thrown in prison, and now he's in prison. But what does Joseph do there? Man, he just starts working for God. And God blesses him. And pretty soon, and everything he touches prospers. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. God blesses Joseph again. God blesses Joseph every step of the way. That can happen in your life if you'll live a life of faith. Amen. If you'll trust God. I'll let you know a little secret. If you won't trust God, you still don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Things are still, you can manipulate from now till the cows come home. From now, 6 ways till Sunday, and you still aren't going to control your future. Why not trust the one that does control the future? The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. He completely trusted him because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Don't fail to be faithful. Do right till the stars fall. No matter what happens, God blesses righteousness. Salvation is of faith. Salvation is a gift. After you get born again, you serve God, you get the blessings of God. There are rewards, and there will be rewards in heaven. Now, to get to heaven, you can't do that. That is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift. You say, preacher, what about all my past sins? They're gone. They're gone. Turn to the 103rd Psalm very quickly. Boy, this isn't in my notes, and I got to get here quick. Now, this might be a dangerous old man thing. Psalm 103. But I want to say something about salvation. The Lord is merciful, verse 8. And gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us according or after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's what God did for us. Salvation is a gift. When you get saved, your sins are as far as the east is from the west. When you get born again, man, that's a gift. That is a gift. Mercy and grace mentioned right here in the 103rd Psalm. That is a gift. That's why you're going to heaven if you're going to heaven. That's why I'm going to heaven. Now, after you get born again, you live your life. And you're going to be rewarded accordingly. And the way of the transgressor is hard. If you choose the way of the world, fasten your seatbelt, man. Put on your helmet. It's going to get rough every step of the way. And it'll get rougher as you get farther from God. That's a promise from God. But on the other hand, if you'll be like Joseph and you'll trust God and you won't have to understand, you just trust God and you don't fail to be faithful, man, it's a life of great blessing. And there's rewards along the way. Okay, I speed this up. Don't demand to understand. Don't fail to be faithful. And don't bow to bitterness. Bitterness is a cancer. It'll eat your soul away. And it'll spread to other people around you. If you're a person of a bitter spirit, and the New Testament speaks of that bitter spirit in Hebrews and chapter 12 and verse 15. Man, if you're a bitter man, if you're a bitter woman, if you think God owes you something or people aren't treating you right, man, you're gonna destroy yourself. You're going to destroy your children. You're going to destroy your wife, your husband. You're going to destroy your grandchildren. It'll spread through the church. That bitterness is like a cancer. It's got to be dealt with. You got to cut it out with a sharp knife. You got to surrender to Jesus Christ and start looking at things right. If anybody deserved to get bitter, it's a young man that was hated by his brethren, thrown in a pit. His dad was told he was dead, tore apart. His dad went to the said he was going to go to the grave in bitterness of heart and weeping and mourning. His heart was broken in a thousand ways. Sold into slavery. Gets raised up in Potiphar's house. And then he's accused wrongly by Potiphar's wife. And he's cast into prison. But there he could have been bitter, but he's blessed of God. And the butler and the baker have a dream. I don't have time to rehearse that. It was good for the butler. It was bad for the baker. And Joseph said to the butler and to the baker, listen, when you get to Pharaoh's house, if there's anybody in control, you're looking at a young man that was unjustly thrown in prison. And you know that the interpretation, he gave credit to God, the interpretation that I gave of your two prophetic dreams, it's of God. It's of God. And if you could remember to just share that and tell somebody I'm here unjustly, that'd be good. 2 years. 2 years he was forgotten in the prison. After the butler is standing before Pharaoh, high position. He stands before Pharaoh day after day after day. He has an audience with Pharaoh. And he never even remembers Joseph. You think he couldn't have got bitter? Absolutely. But his relationship was with God. Look at chapter 41, verse 46. We'll skip ahead. 41 and verse 46. Boy, I'm skipping some good preaching, but I'm being disciplined here this morning, I think. 46, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Oh, there's a couple things I wanted to say prior to that, and I won't be able to say it, but don't be unwilling to wait on the plan of God. He was 2 years left in prison after the butler left. Completely forgotten. Then Pharaoh has a dream. He has two dreams. God is preparing to spare Israel, the nation Israel, from this great famine that was going to come on this pagan country. Pharaoh has this dream and it troubles him and he can't get over it. A dream about corn and a dream about cattle. All the wise men of Pharaoh, nobody can interpret it. And then the butler says, oh my goodness, it just occurred to me, Pharaoh, I know of a young man in prison that interprets dreams because he worships the God of heaven. And I'm here today because of the dream that he was able to interpret. Pharaoh says, man, you send for him. Joseph stands before Pharaoh, mightiest man in the world at that time. Doesn't take any credit for himself. And he says, listen, I don't know the interpretation, but I worship a God that does. Amen. If you'll tell me the dream, I'll tell you the interpretation. And Joseph tells him, it's going to be 7 years of plenty like the world has never known. And then there's going to be 7 years of famine like the world has never known. Best thing you can do, Pharaoh, is to find a wise man, put him over top of this business of preparing for the 7 years of famine. Pharaoh looks down to Joseph and says, Joseph, I can think of no better man than you. He's about 30 years old now. No better man than you. I make you second in all the land of Egypt. Now, God uses all of this to spare Jacob and his sons. That's Israel. Israel is a miracle nation. It would have just been another group of tribes that would have just been wiped out in the famine. But God was intervening because he had a young man that was a man of character and he trusted God and he surrendered to God. He didn't have to understand the workings of God. He was going to, whatever God put on his plate, that's what he was going to do. That was it. He never failed to be faithful. He was faithful at every turn. He never bowed to bitterness. He was not unwilling to wait. It's hard to wait. 13 years of trouble made Joseph a man of God. 13 years of trouble prepared Joseph to be second in command of all of Egypt. Don't be unwilling to wait. Never let the dream die. Through thick and thin, Joseph understood God was going to fulfill the dream that he had concerning he and his brothers. He didn't know how. And this was beyond anybody's wildest imagination, how this ended up working out. But I guess I'll say this before I make my last point. There are no losers in the family of God. There's only quitters. Right. You get born again, you follow God. You don't quit on God, he's going to bless you. You quit on God, that's your fault. That's your problem. But if you'll follow God, if you'll trust God, if you'll be faithful to God, if you just surrender to him, all things will work out. Let's go to chapter 45, verses 1 through 4. I'm in closing now. Chapter 45, I really am, verses 1 through 4. Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, Joseph's on the throne. You understand? If you don't know the story of Joseph, this part of it, I'm sorry. I don't have time to preach it. It says, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Man, they couldn't believe it. They were shocked. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, this is it. I am Joseph. I'm the one you sold into slavery. You know they fell on their faces. They were sure they were dead men. And then he asked, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. That is an understatement. It's like they had no words. Man, this is the one. And they felt guilty about it. That's rehearsed in this story. They knew they did wrong, all right? They were total reprobates in any stretch of the imagination. And so they understood they did wrong. And now they're bowing before the second in command of all of Pharaoh. Their life is in his hands. All of Egypt, their life is in his hands. And he reveals to them, I'm Joseph. And they have no words. Verse 4 says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Look at verse 10. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Oh, I'm going to close with this and pray these verses. You understand this? This is big. You want to be like Joseph. Joseph is a picture of Jesus. Now, here's a great picture. Joseph says to his brethren, go home and get dad. Go home and get your sons and daughters. Go home and get your families. Go home and get everybody you can. And you bring them back to the land of Goshen. And there I will provide for you. You hear the message from God? Jesus is saying this morning to his church, go get your dad. Go get your mom. Go get your families, get your brothers, get your sisters, get everybody you can, and bring them to the land of Goshen. Bring them to the land of milk and honey. Let's go a step further. Bring them to the presence of God so that they might know Jesus as their Savior as well. The whole world is in famine. The whole world is in drought. Everybody, there are people dying. And it says in verse 10, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee. Verse 13. And ye shall tell my father of my glory in Egypt and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Oh, there was great repentance. But the message from God this morning is really quite simple. Don't quit. Bible words. Press on, persevere, endure. Joseph never quit. Joseph didn't pretend to be God. He didn't have to understand a thing. He knew he was the clay and God was the potter. Joseph never got bitter. Joseph was not afraid to wait on God. That's the toughest thing in the world to do, I think. Joseph always gave credit and glory and honor to God. Joseph just trusted God. He surrendered. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, the majority of this message this morning was for the Christian. I shared the gospel early in the message. If you don't know that your sins are forgiven, you need to come to him this morning. Know you're saved. Know you're on your way to heaven. You got to take care of that. If you are born again, I was preaching to you this morning. Go back to your homes and get your families. Bring them to Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.